Now the lady we met a little while ago in the praise set there, Jane, you remember Jane? Jane was having an experience, okay, an experience that she hopes all of us will share. We'll hear more about Jane's experience next Sunday, but the question that Jane was actually, the philosophical issue that Jane was wrestling with and really didn't even understand she was wrestling with it, you know, the Holy Spirit does that to us. He kind of like sneaks up behind us, starts whispering things in our ears, gets us thinking about stuff and asking us questions. What the philosophical issue behind the whole dilemma she had in the generic aisle in the supermarket, it was simply this. What does it mean for me to give my all to Jesus? Exactly what is involved in surrendering myself to Christ? Now, as always, Jesus shows us on Calvary what it meant for him to give his all for us. You remember that on Calvary, on the cross, he was willing to suffer and die because of our transgressions. He had done nothing which deserved what he got, but he endured everything, all the suffering, the pain of crucifixion, to save sinners like you and me from hell. He laid down his life that we might live. Literally, he gave it all up for us. He shows us what it meant for him to give his all for us on Calvary. But what does it mean for me, for you, to give our all to Jesus? Well, set before you today is the familiar story of Mary and Martha, which provides two models for giving your all to Jesus. There is the Mary model, and there is the Martha model. Now, before we look specifically at the models, let's deal a little bit with the characters involved to make sure that we understand who these women were. First, remember that Mary and Martha were sisters. Okay, now, I just need to stop here. And I need, some sisters get along really well. Others don't. Okay? And sometimes your sister, even if you get along really well with her, can like drive you to distraction. Okay, and there probably is a little bit of that going on in the story here today too. Okay, it's probably historic. Probably gone on since Mary and Martha were girls. Okay, all right, got it? That's part of the drama here. But before the record, just keep things straight. The Mary who is mentioned in this story is not Mary, the mother of Jesus. I know it's Christmas time. All Marys are supposed to be that Mary, but not this time. Okay? She is Martha's sister. And together, they are the sisters of Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. The story's told in John chapter 11. We'll get to that text by succession of movement in about 4 years. Okay? Now, these women, Mary and Martha, lived together with their brother Lazarus in Martha's house. Now, I just want to tell you that if you are living in your sister's house, there is another level of complexity added to the story. Don't forget it. It's all there. Okay? It's all there. The house was in the little village of Bethany, which was really quite close to Jerusalem, and where we know, again from John's Gospel, Jesus stayed in that very house with those very women and their brother during the last week of his life on earth. That's where he lived, in their house. Wouldn't you like that? I mean, Jesus dropping in on you, feeling so comfortable he's going to hang around in your house for a week? Keep that in mind. On the occasion at hand, Jesus was apparently visiting with Mary and Martha on his way into the holy city. And Martha was busy with the duties of attending to an important visitor. Now, look, it looks like it's going to be really nice to have Jesus come. Okay? But we're talking about Jesus. It's better than having the president come. Okay? There's going to be all kinds of stuff that you have to do. I mean, we just had Aunt Diane for a week. We love Aunt Diane. It's good when Aunt Diane comes, but you know, we had to clear all the junk out of the guest room so Aunt Diane could use it. The cat was put out because she thought Aunt Diane was sleeping in her bed. All kinds of adjustments have to be made. Okay? Imagine if it's Jesus and not just a friendly relative dropping in for a while. Martha was consumed because Jesus was obviously important to her, and she wanted his stay in her house to be perfect, or at least as close to perfect as she could get it. So she was concerned about everything, about every detail, about the schedule and the menus and all the stuff that you have to be concerned about when someone important is staying in your house, or sometimes even when it's somebody who's not quite so important as Jesus. She wanted to make Jesus stay at her house everything that it ought to be, because Jesus was important to her. But there in the living room, was Sister Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. She was hanging on every word she said. He said, she was enjoying every moment of his visit. She was absorbed in the moment of it, taking it all in, sitting at the feet of the Master. There are the models, the two models. There is the Martha model, serving into every detail, striving to make it all work well, literally wanting to show by the perfection of the event absolute devotion to Jesus. Are there any other Marthas present besides Lois? You know if you're a Martha. You look at her and you say, my hero. I know just how she feels. Mm-hmm. And then there is the Mary model. Listening. Learning. Enjoying it all. Sitting at the Master's feet. Trying to show her devotion to Jesus by being in loving contact with him, listening to his every word, learning everything that he has to say, absolutely devoted to taking in everything that Jesus has to give. Mary's out there? Any of you? Now, there's some things I need to say about this before I move on. Number one, these are extremely, very different models. In fact, they are so completely different that you might call them opposites. Do you see it? And number three, people who follow one of those models are usually distracted by the people who follow the other. The doers, the Marthas among us, do not appreciate the sitters. And the sitters are really put out by the Marthas. The Marthas and the Marys simply do not understand each other. Did you ever notice? Well, that is exactly what happened in the story that was read to you today. Martha came to Jesus and she said to him, Lord, Doesn't it bother you that Mary's sitting there doing nothing? Well, I have everything to do. Tell her to get up and help me. And you know what I can see? I can see Mary sitting there at the feet of Jesus going, you know why? It ain't the first time she's been there with Mary, with Martha. They've had that discussion before when other important guests came. Martha couldn't appreciate Mary's model of service. And Mary absolutely did not understand Martha. But you ready for the good news? Here it comes. Jesus appreciated them both. Now, I had to tell you, this came to me in the middle of the night. You know how God does this? Like, he wakes you up. And you're laying there thinking, I need to go back to sleep now because I got important stuff to do tomorrow, but you can't go back to sleep. And you start thinking, I started thinking about this text because it's bothering me. It almost seems in the text as if Jesus rebuffs Martha and chooses Mary over her. Okay? But it doesn't seem like, why would he do that? So I was struggling with that. Struggling and laying there in the middle of the night, unable to go to sleep. And all of a sudden it hit me. That isn't what he did. Look at it, you idiot. He didn't do that. He appreciated both models. His answer to Martha's inquiry must have astounded. I can see Martha's mouth go. I mean, Jesus says to her, dear Martha, and I know he did it that way. Martha, 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 dear Martha, he says. You are worried and bothered by every detail. So many things. Because you want the visit to go well. He never tells her to stop. He doesn't tell her she ought to sit down and take Mary's place. He doesn't do that. He lets her know that he appreciates what it is that she's brought to offer. In fact, he implies that he understands her motive and that he appreciates her effort. But in truth, she has become overwhelmed. She needs to just sort of breathe. Now, just a little advice to Martha's. Breathing is a required necessity of life. Okay? And when you're feeling like really pressured trying to do your service thing and make everything fall together right, occasionally you need to go and just let it go for a minute. Not for a minute. That's what he says. Just breathe. She needs to step back and understand that he is already pleased with what she is doing because she has chosen that, which is necessary. The one thing which is necessary. He says one thing is necessary. You know what she's chosen? To give him everything she has. She has chosen that, which is necessary. Martha's over there waiting. There is a cup of coffee at the back of the sound desk. That will help. Okay, well, I want you to understand, please hear me. Don't let my coughing disturb you. She has chosen the one thing which is necessary. She's chosen to serve Jesus. Thank you.
Miss Martha would actually get you a hot cup.
This is fine. One thing is necessary. You know how I can tell when there's a message that you're not supposed to get? Stuff starts going crazy. Yeah, so he's happy with Mary because she's chosen the thing, Martha, the thing that she's chosen is necessary. She's chosen to serve him, but so has Mary. Okay? The path of Mary's service is very different from the path Martha chose. But it is still an acceptable path to Jesus. In Jesus' eyes, Mary's path is the better choice for Mary. I just got to tell you, if he had tried to make Martha sit down and do what Mary was doing, Martha would have gone absolutely crazy. She couldn't do it. Okay? She'd be worrying about what was on the stove, what ought to be on the stove, whether they were going to have enough of this, whether there was going to... She would not be hearing what Jesus was saying, even if he had made her sit down at her feet, at his feet. Because it wasn't her way. And if he had told Mary to go help Martha, you know what Mary would have done? She'd have been running back into the room every minute trying to find out what it was Jesus was saying. Okay? The stuff on the stove would be burning if you left it in Mary's care because she'd be in the other room listening. Neither of them could serve Jesus the way the other one did. And all he says to Martha is, Mary's chosen the way which is best for her. Relax. Mary's path would never do for Martha. And Martha's path would never do for Mary. But Jesus understood them both and appreciated them both. He knew that each was trying to serve him in the way which was best for them. And true to his nature, he accepts the gift of both. So, how do you give Jesus your all? Well, some of us are Marthas. I can pick out the Marthas I run into you over the years. Marthas are good people to have around. They are devoted to the detail. They work their fingers to the bone to make sure that it all comes together right. You need Marthas. And then there are Marys, content to sit and worship at Jesus' feet, listening to every word he says. And I can guarantee you that if you're a Martha, you are constantly upset with the Marys. And if you are a Mary, you're wondering why Martha is into so many details. But no matter which model you choose, if you want to give your all to Jesus and you strive to please him, he will accept the gift. So no matter which way you choose, make it your goal to please him. And when you are being driven by distraction, or being driven to distraction by a Martha, you Marys, or when you Marys are rolling your eyes at the Marthas, remember, Jesus knows the hearts of us all. He knows when we are doing what we are doing simply to please him. Now, wasn't sure I was going to like this sermon, but I do. And I hope as a result of it, Marthas will begin to appreciate Marys, and the Marys will better understand our Marthas.